The Veterans Report is sponsored by James Cannon.
Welcome to the Veterans Report, the region's only show dedicated to those who have served our country. We have the latest news and information on resources available to veterans, including health care, education, employment tips, local volunteer organizations, and more. To those who have served, those who are serving, and to those who will, we salute you. And now, the host of the Veterans Report, Jim Cannon.
And welcome back to the Veterans Report. Thanks for tuning in and joining us today. Got a lot of stuff to cover today. Hope you're doing all right. right off the bat, I want to say the website, the veteransreport.com website. I've touched on this before. So the gremlins are back, and at one point it was Facebook, and then I got that fixed, and then it was the website, and we got that squared away. And now the new trick is we are unable to load sound files on the website. Apparently, they decided to update the software or whatever, the JavaScript something, blah, 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 and it is not taking sound files. So the last three shows are not even up there. So if you were looking for them, if you were trying to listen to them, and I apologize to our guests, we're trying to get that squared away. I've got David, my awesome web guy, David from WebLogix, who is constantly on the phone with the hosting company, and he can't figure it. I mean, this guy does this for a living, and he's telling me he's having a hard time with these folks. So, well, we'll get it fixed eventually, but I'm just letting everybody know that the gremlins have returned, so it's always something. And yay for technology. So, but I will say, technology's kind of cool, especially during hockey season. I'm not going to lie, because I do a lot of trash talking on the NHL Facebook page. A lot. Primarily to Flyers fans, because they're so awful. they really are. Oh, my. But, yeah, so I, on the one hand, technology drives me nuts. I hate it. And then the other side of it is it makes it so easy to go in there and just pepper people. I mean, granted, you get these, you get these people who I know they think they're witty. They fire off these comments online without thinking, and then they just get barraged, and it's too easy. But anyway, I'm going off on a bit of a tangent here, but social media. I was thinking about social media the other day. And I thought, would I post those comments, the ones on NHL, would I say those things to somebody's face? And I will tell you, at my age, yes, I absolutely would. Because I would. I'm serious. Because I would do it now. I would definitely do it now. Because I know what my options are. I know what all the possible scenarios would be. Some not so great and some kind of funny. But clearly, a lot of the people online, and this goes for Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, I mean, you name it, right? They are not, they would not say this to somebody's face. I know for a fact, because I busted one kid. He was 16 years old. We went back and forth, and I mean profanity-laden stuff that this kid was dropping, and just got nasty. And I did some, I did some online sleuthing, found out he was still in high school. And so I wrote him an offline message and said, hey, bud, you might want to chill out because, A, you don't know who you're playing with, and, B, I have your mother's home address, and I'm about to write her a letter. And it stopped. Guy got offline. Just stopped. I'm serious. But and that's like the equivalent of, when we were kids taking somebody, out to the – behind the library was where we went in the mean South Hills of Pittsburgh. Meet you behind the library at 3:15. I lost most. I won a couple. But I mean, that's the online equivalent of it, though. Man. But, yeah, the NHL page, I got to tell you, that is fun. Stuff like that where, there's no personal connection to it. It's just you go in there and you lob a couple of verbal grenades and then you run away. And it's so childish and so ridiculous and so fun. But, that's crazy stuff. Twitter, though. Twitter's worse because you go on Twitter, that stuff is instant. I guess Facebook is, too, but Facebook is sort of a more of a closed loop, right? Only certain people are going to see that. Twitter, You go on there, that thing could end up anywhere, right? Within seconds. And some people just don't use their head. Now, I will say there are a couple of people who I see on a routine basis. And these folks have huge followings, and they're just, you know, they get it. They get it. So, oh. And a quick note to anybody listening, and thank you, Ice. Our partners down at WTF Nation Radio are telling us that because I've been teeing up the sound files, they've been grabbing them, and they have them available. So, thank you for that. So, in the interim, while our website is crashing and burning like the Minnesota Wild did. WTF Nation Radio is helping us out. So thanks a lot, guys. You're awesome. And if you haven't been to their site, let me tee that up as a plug for them. WTF Nation Radio is on 5 days. Is it 5 days a week? I'll get corrected here in a moment. But fantastic programming. They have fun. They also have a live feed, Facebook Live. So you can chime in while you're listening. you can comment. It's interactive, and you can be a part of it. And it's really cool. It's funny stuff. They're having a good time, so jump on there and check them out. So I want to let everybody know at the halfway mark, I don't know if you saw this online, our guest today is going to be Chris McKinney with the K-Bar Soap Company, and K-Bar is in the infamous knife carried by the Jarheads. So Chris will be on at the halfway point, probably around 5:30-ish. So tune in for that, because he's got some, it's a cool story. Chris is having fun, too. Veteran-owned business. He's kicking out these really... it was 6 days. I'm sorry. WTF Nation Radio, 6 days. Thank you. What was I saying? Chris McKinney is having a good time with the products. So if you haven't been to their website, check them out, too. Again, it's K-Bar Soap Company. Oh, man. So... And if you are so a lot of times we get into serious stuff here, right? We have a lot of groups that are out there sort of beating the pavement on behalf of veterans, doing a lot of good things, nonprofits, you know, homegrown organizations. And a lot of it is pretty heady, serious stuff. You know, certainly their missions are. And while the discussions we have on air are generally pretty casual, again, what's behind it, the purpose, the task behind these organizations is serious. So I enjoy, and not to minimize other folks who come on here, but I do enjoy, you know, occasionally peppering this show with, you know, fun stuff, right? Something everybody can look at and go, wow, that's pretty cool. That's awesome. Just sort of nod your head instead of, you know, sort of deep, sort of a deep mission behind it. So that's good. If you are a veteran-owned business, and I just want to throw this out there as well, because I was digging around, and I'd almost forgotten about this, and I've meant to try to get them on the show. There's an organization called NVOBA, which is the National Veteran-Owned Business Association. And I believe, yeah, they're headquartered here, right here in Pittsburgh. So basically, this group, this organization... If you're a veteran-owned business, you can go through them for things like networking opportunities, different kinds of training. They'll help you. If you're just starting off, if you're a brand-new entrepreneur and you have questions or maybe you're stumbling, they can sort of hold your hand for a little while and get you off the ramp, so to speak. But they also have a certification, right? So you can be certified by this group, NVOBA, as a veteran-owned business. And so... Again, if you are a vet, you're out there, you have a product that's moving, you have a service that's moving, check them out. Again, it's NVOBA. I didn't copy their website. I'm pretty sure you can find it online, and they will help you through the process. So, good group, and it's really reassuring to see so many veterans out there starting their own businesses, ramping things up, and really grabbing it, right? Reaching out and grabbing it and saying, "Hey, I'm going to do my own thing." And we've covered that I don't know how many times on the show about veteran-owned businesses. Most of them are independent, smaller independent sort of mom-and-pop shop kind of things. But to see so many people doing it, so many people into it, is motivating. It's definitely what keeps me going during the week, because I have you know, 4,000 ideas running through my head. And you know, if it ever happens, if that day ever comes where I sit down and start cranking one out, it's people who are already in that race who are going to keep sort of pushing me, right? They're going to be the wind in my sail. So to all of you veteran-owned business folks out there, thank you. You guys are doing a great job. You're doing a good thing. It's just a good thing. So what happened this week? What happened? Oh, so I got to cover. This was like the week of, it was like a weird week of celebrity deaths. Vern Troyer, right before we jumped on the air, Vern Troyer, the guy who played Mini-Me in Austin Powers, he died. He passed away. I mean, I don't remember him in too many roles, but that was his, I think that was his biggest one. So he's gone. Harry Anderson. Harry Anderson, who is best remembered from the, I think it was NBC, right? Yes. The NBC show Night Court. He was a comedian and a magician. But, man, I loved that show. Night Court was an awesome show. It's just funny. It was light, you know, good writing. Not real sophisticated writing, but good writing. It was funny. But I liked it. He was a likable dude. And he was only in his 60s. So that's kind of a bummer. And then, obviously, we had Barbara Bush, former First Lady and mother of one president. And she passed away. She is, she's going to be remembered as probably one of the classiest First Ladies we've ever had. She was real, too. She was just down to earth. Kind of a, just like a normal person, just normal, which is bizarre considering her husband's political career, right? I mean, that went on for 35, 40 years. And her, along with her, obviously her children. You know, great mom, great grandma, and just a decent human being. She got it, you know. She was never afraid to sort of keep her boys in line. So she was, what, 90, 92? She, when I was in, oh, man, this goes back a couple of years. When I was in 29 Palms, way back in the day, when George H.W. was president, they came out to visit at 29 Palms, and it was the first time in my life, I was pretty young, and, yeah, that was a long time ago. First time I had ever seen the presidential detail. I'd never seen all of the security surrounding that stuff, and it was pretty amazing. Like, our, you know, my buddies and I were checking it out. We were both amazed. We're like, hey, you know, looking around, seeing all the snipers on the roof, and they were not shy. They didn't even try to hide it. I mean, they set up like it was a, you know, like the set of a Die Hard movie or something. I mean, they were everywhere. It was pretty awesome though. And they stayed and they shook hands with everybody and they went up and down the rope line and really cool. And just cheers, right? You know, that was back, oh, Desert Storm-ish era, and just people, I really, honestly, I can say, I think, in the moment, I think people were grooving on George Bush, but I think overall, they actually liked Barbara more. It was a more thorough liking, but nice lady, so she'll be missed. And I suspect, and this sounds morbid and horrible, but I suspect that George H.W. is not too far behind. I mean, it seemed like she was in much better health, and hers took a sudden turn. He's sort of been hanging in there for a couple of years now, and it's I don't think he's that far behind. So that'll be the end of an era. And then obviously, related to this show and related to the people listening, R. Lee Ermey, the Gunny, gone at 74 from pneumonia, complications from pneumonia. What a bummer that is, right? Now, he was best remembered, obviously, most of you better know this, but if you don't, he was best remembered as Gunnery Sergeant Hartman from the Stanley Kubrick film Full Metal Jacket. And now I will say I had forgotten about his performance I'd forgotten about his performance in a movie called The Boys in Company C. And in that movie, that was 10 years before Full Metal Jacket. Ermy played he was a drill instructor. And it was weird because it was a lot looser. Like it almost seemed like he was just being himself, right? Almost like he was improvising and going off script. Whereas in Full Metal Jacket, it was very contained, right? It's very contrived. And you could tell he was playing a character. In the other movie, the one 10 years before, it just seemed like he was being himself. But that followed not too far in the heels of his actual Marine Corps service. So he had been in Vietnam, and two of his years in the Marine Corps, two of his 11 years in the Corps, he had been a drill instructor, and he had worked at San Diego. So he spent 14 months attached to the Marine Wing Support Group, followed by two tours in Okinawa. And he rose to the rank of staff sergeant before being medically retired for injuries. And then he went on to, well, and he got a, 2002, he got an honorary promotion to gunnery sergeant by then Commandant James Jones, becoming the first retiree in the history of the Marine Corps to be promoted. How cool is that? And, you know, and he had a long career, over 60 films. He had the TV show Mail Call on the History Channel. That's probably where a lot of people now recognize him. But he was in one of my favorite movies, which was Mississippi Burning. And it wasn't my favorite because of the content. It was my favorite because I love Gene Hackman. Gene Hackman was a jarhead too. How's that for an interesting twist? But Gene Hackman played a phenomenal role in that. But Lee Ermey played this dirtbag mayor, and man, you talk about two guys putting in powerful performances. That was a great film, just great. But I dove into IMDb. There's a link to IMDb on the Veterans Report website, but if you have a second, jump on there. Or if you're interested, but I jumped on and I was looking at Lee Ermey's entertainment pedigree, and it just goes on and on and on. It's he's on The Simpsons as Colonel Leslie Happablap, Kung Fu Panda, the TV show, Call of Duty, 2013, Call of Duty Ghosts, the video game. He was the drill instructor voice. I know, shocker, right? He was on Family Guy. What else? Batman, The Brave and the Bold TV series. And it just goes on. 2010, he was on Law and Order. Toy Story 3, the video game. Toy Story 3 as Sarge. I'm just going through all this. SpongeBob SquarePants, the TV series. Oh, Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I forgot about that. X-Men, The Last Stand, he was a voice. And just on and on. What else? I'm looking for something that's going to jump out. Where is it? Scrubs, the TV series? I saw that once or twice. Not a big fan, but I know that was pretty popular. So, but again, what is this? Saving Silverman. I don't think I saw that. Interesting. Huh. All Dogs Go to Heaven, the TV series. How's that for weird? 1998. Oh, man. He was also, for those super nerds, he was in Apocalypse Now. He had a cameo role as one of the helicopter pilots. Oh, Miami Vice. He was on Miami Vice in 1987. I'm going to dig that one up. Detective Sergeant Ernest Haskell. See, now that's totally worth digging into because I want to see if he was wearing pastels. But, yeah. So, R. Lee Ermey, gone at 74. Legendary. He's also known for giving a lot back to veterans. I mean, he was he cared. He was one of those guys who cared. And he went overseas, I don't know how many times, to Iraq and Afghanistan. I think through the USO. And he would stay and shake hands for hours. Also, little known fact, when I was in the Marine Corps, He was our guest at the 1993 Marine Corps birthday ball at Lake Tahoe. So, super cool guy. Really nice. Man, I went way into the weeds on that, didn't I? So, the let me dive into... there's a bunch of stuff that I didn't cover. But, so there's a new poll up on the Facebook page. And I think it's important to get into this. The headline is, "We should see if it works. Lawmakers want Veterans Affairs to study whether pot is safer than painkillers. A bipartisan measure introduced this week in the House would authorize the Department of Veterans Affairs to research whether marijuana is a viable substitute for highly addictive opioids in treating former military personnel suffering from post-traumatic stress and chronic pain. VA Medicinal Cannabis Research Act of 2018 would authorize VA to advance such research in a 5-year study to examine the drug's safety and efficacy, and require, here's the clincher, guys, and require VA researchers to compile annual status reports for Congress." And this was introduced, this bill was introduced by Phil Rowe, who is a Republican from Tennessee. He's also chairman of the Veterans Affairs Committee, and he's also a doctor. He's a physician. And Representative Tim Walz, who is a Democrat from Minnesota, who is the ranking minority member of that committee. And they had 35 co-sponsors, including 7 Republicans. Because I know generally the Republican Party has shied away from that because they didn't want to touch it. They thought it was a hot potato kind of thing. This is a bipartisan thing, and they're saying, hey, look, this opioid thing, this opioid problem in the United States, and we talked to Diana Irie Vaughan about that. We talked to Paul Mango about that. We talked to Secretary Shulkin about that when he was on the air. It's everywhere, right? It's across the board. So people are looking for a way to try to tamp this down. Weird, check this out. I'm driving in today, and on the radio, because I flip around, and there was a segment. I'm not making this up. The minute I left my house, there was a segment on public radio about Pennsylvania. Just the Secretary of Health in Pennsylvania, Dr. Levine, I think, or Levine. I think her first name is Rachel. Don't remember. She basically authorized the sale of medical cannabis leaf to be used for vaporization. Now, I have to assume it's the same as vaping, because I'm not real in tune with what that means. But so they said flower. They're going to allow the sale of the flower for vaporization and not smoking. But it's a baby step. But that's what the segment was on, and these folks were running down different stats and what it means to addressing this opioid problem. Now that was here in Pennsylvania. There are other states where they've already gone way beyond that, right? They've authorized the use of medical marijuana or medicinal cannabis as sort of a pain treatment, right? An alternative treatment. Anyway, that was weird. I was driving in today, and I already had this story teed up, right? I was going to walk through this thing. The VA studying the use of pot. Now, you might recall a couple of months ago, I covered a story on air about how the VA, they were claiming, were prohibited from looking into this by law, right? As part of their doctrine, they were prohibited from researching this. So I'm assuming that's why they're introducing this as an act. Again, it's the VA Medicinal Cannabis Research Act of 2018. So I'm assuming that's to override or usurp or whatever word you want to use the stuff that's on the books that was prohibiting them from doing this before. Now, another weird thing. So I'm prepping, right? I'm prepping for the show. And I'm screwing around, and I'm looking online. What story pops up? How medicinal marijuana could help curb the opioid epidemic. And this is from Live Science. And they go on about how opioid prescriptions have gone down in states that implemented laws allowing access to medical marijuana. And that came from the journal something something of internal medicine. And the researchers said... they suggest, I should say, that access to medical marijuana may have cut patients' needs for opioids to manage their pain. They said that marijuana can relieve pain at a lower risk of addiction than opioids and with virtually no risk of overdose. I thought that was interesting. All this stuff kind of came together. So clearly this is a poignant and pertinent topic. For those of you who like numbers, I didn't know this. There were more than 42,000 U.S. deaths from opioid overdoses in 2016, up from 33,000 deaths in 2015, according to the CDC. Most people, including teenagers, with an opioid use disorder start out with a legitimate prescription for the drugs from healthcare providers for pain management. Duh. Marijuana may be an alternative to consider for some of these patients, said the experts. However, and here's the caveat, right? Still, it may not be possible to replace all kinds of pain medications with marijuana. So far, clinical studies suggest that marijuana is effective in easing chronic pain, neuropathic pain, and involuntary and continuous muscle contractions associated with multiple sclerosis. But to know whether marijuana is as effective for other types of pain, more research needs to be done. But now those are researchers, right? Those are medical researchers. At the same time, you have the Veterans Committee in the House saying, hey, VA, why don't you go study this? I think what we're seeing is a slow, somewhat tepid, but forward-moving confluence of people coming together to really look into this and see if it's a viable treatment. And if it is, I mean, that's going to be good news for a lot of folks that currently use the VA, right? So, hey, I was never a big fan of the whole medical cannabis thing for a lot of reasons. You know, I've done my own research, but hey, if it works, you know, who am I to say that people shouldn't do it? Couldn't be any worse than what they're prescribing now, right? So, anyway, to the poll question, and then we're gonna jump off. So real quick, so what I just read, right, about the bipartisan measure, and then the Research Act of 2018. So basically, the poll question is: do you agree with the VA researching cannabis as a possible substitute for prescription pills? It's a pretty straightforward question. Keeping in mind that this is the VA we're talking about, right? So that means federal dollars going to study this, primarily for the veteran community. Now, again, a lot of stuff the VA does carries over, it spills over to the civilian sector. So that might be further down the road. That may or may not sway your opinion too. So jump on the Facebook page, chime in, give us your opinion on that question. And with that, I ran kind of long talking about Lee Ermey because he was so awesome. One of my idols. So with that, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come right back with Chris McKinney of the K-Bar Soap Company. If you want to keep up with the latest in veteran news away from the radio, stop by our website at www.theveteransreport.com. There you'll find news headlines, along with links to media outlets around the world. You can also find links to every state's veteran services office. And for you film buffs, there's even a link to a war movie database. We appreciate you stopping by the Facebook page at facebook.com/theveteransreport. There, like the website, you'll find the latest news and information related to veterans. And for you high-speed individuals who want to limit yourself to 140 characters, stop by our Twitter account. It's a great way to find information on veteran organizations throughout the country and what they're up to. You can tweet us by using @TheVetsReport. If you'd like to email the show directly, please send us your input, comments, or suggestions to editor@TheVeteransReport.com. Thanks again for checking out our pages. Thanks for listening, and thank you for supporting our veterans community. And we're back on the Veterans Report. thanks for joining us today. I had to fix my volume there because I'm getting old and I'm losing my hearing. So we have on the line Chris McKinney with the K-Bar Soap Company. How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing just fine, Jim. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for coming on today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
So, you know, I teed it up. I've talked about this many times. You know, a lot of the guests we have on the show are, you know, they're real serious, and it's these sort of purpose-driven organizations. You're just having fun, man. And I got to tell you, I love what you're doing. So before we jump into it, what's sort of your military pedigree, sort of your street cred with the military?
Okay, so, I was born on an island in Paris, so with the Marine Corps. So I went to boot camp there in 2000, and after school and everything, I was stationed at Camp Pendleton in 1st Combat Engineer Battalion for my entire enlistment outside of deployment. So did 4 years there, was there in 03 on the invasion in Iraq, and sat in Kuwait for the 2 months when the ultimatum was given, and then made it to Baghdad and then back and then floated back and then spent all the money that I'd amassed in those 4 months of getting paychecks. So that's typically the pedigree. I tell people I blew stuff up in shotguns because a lot of people don't really know what division engineers do. But that's what I did. So that's my claim to veteran status there. Honorably discharged as a sergeant. They affectionately called me Sergeant Skinny, although that is not the case so much anymore. That was many moons ago. So yeah, that's pretty much my pedigree there.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, I appreciate that. And, little side note, I went to Paris Island as well, but I was in 3rd Battalion, and I guess recently they tore the barracks down. So
did that really? I didn't even hear that.
Yeah. Yeah. They tore down the entire 3rd Battalion, including the mess hall, and, they're rebuilding. They're putting up brand new buildings.
And it's still going to be across the grinder from all the normal people. Right.
It is. It's sort of in the same area, but I was kind of bummed out. I have a buddy that I went to boot camp with, and he managed to go down there and actually get video of it, and he took one of the bricks with him. But kind of
sad. Oh, my God. How killer would it have been to have one of those bricks? I mean,
well, apparently they still have some for sale. You can contact the Paris Island gift shop down there, and I guess they have some sitting there for sale.
No kidding. I have to talk to my 3rd Battalion Bubba's and tell them that if they're not aware already.
Oh, it crushed me. It just crushed me to see see them tearing those things down. But oh well, change. So anyway, enough about that. So let's talk about what are you doing, right? So you have the K-Bar Soap Company for people not in the know, right? Walk me through the name first.
Okay, so it's basically just a play on words, right? So we dropped the A, and then it was a name that anybody that served would recognize immediately, not so much for, for one way or another. So typically the knife we all carry and used and grow to love. So started making bar soap. I figured we call it the K Bar Soap Company. So it's dropped the A, and then it's K Bar Soap. So that was where the business started, was making bar soap. Trying to bring that back, bringing something all natural back. I've had many people ask me why I didn't shape it like a knife. And I just always like having everybody do a little mental picture with me as to how you would get soap off of something shaped like a knife. And they usually close their eyes for a couple seconds, and then they're like, oh, yeah, okay. So then they get it real quick.
Yeah.
So that's the premise for the grenade. Dudes are naturally hard-headed. And I get that because I am one. And they will just use whatever their wife buys them or whatever's, you know, easy and convenient. And figure we put a grenade in it, at least grab their attention and maybe have them pick it up and maybe actually want to use it after that. So that's the whole premise for them looking like the old pineapple grenades.
Oh, it's such a cool design. It looks like, it's something like when you're a kid, right, and your mom's forcing you into the tub, and the whole time you're thinking, man, I wish I had something – wish I had something cool in here, and you're thinking of the soap on your body, and you're like, wow, it would be cool to have this shaped like X, Y, or Z, and you did it, man. You did it.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a pretty big process to try to figure it out. Worked with the guy to make the molds and to have it there. There's actually a patent pending on the molds now, so it's just got to protect that IP somehow, and there wasn't anybody doing it whenever I started down the path, so it's definitely been something good. It's something that resonates with veterans and, you know, anybody else that likes anything that has to do with guns or outdoors or anything. So we, that's pretty much our anchor product. You know, we've branched out into beard care and stuff, and, it was just a natural progression. We already had the stuff on hand. So just looking to expand wherever we can to bring all natural goodness to freedom-loving patriots. That's what I always say.
Amen. So why let me ask you the obvious question, right? Because there are vets left and right that are doing, you know, hundreds, if not thousands, doing T-shirts, right? Hundreds doing beer, right, or whiskey or whatever. Well, why soap?
I think you answered that question very well for me.
Boom.
Because there's nobody doing it, right? So, I didn't come from a long line of soap makers. This was something that I was going down another path and realized my pockets weren't deep enough to chase that dream, what I really wanted to do. And so I got a little disgruntled one day and then started Googling, and I just typed in the Google how to start a business with no money. It wasn't that I had no money, but it was like, how can I do something? Because I knew I wanted to be on my own. I had troubles working for people, and some of it can be attributed to my time, you know, in Iraq and everything. A lot of it can be attributed with me just getting tired of dealing with politics. So knew I needed to do something on my own. I wanted to spend more time with my family at the house. So then Googled that. So how to start a business with no money. And making soap, start a soap business was like sixth on the list. And I'm like, interesting. I was like, let me see if there's anybody that really caters to men out there. And there was one or two here and there. But I never really, that was the first thing that happened. And I started my year trek of research and development, research and recipes. What do I want to do? Spent a lot of money trying to test things, and that's basically how it started, was with a Google search, and then just went down the path and perfected stuff and trial and error. So that's what anybody can do, anything that they want to do. It's just finding that little niche that they want to operate in. And then I didn't know that I wanted to operate in that. It just happened to pop up, and then I went down the path and did research and figured out there wasn't a lot of players in the space. When coffee saturated, when clothing saturated, when liquor saturated, what else can I do that would in turn bring the all-natural portion to veterans and even get them want to use something that's actually good for them instead of putting chemicals on their body every day? So that was where K-Bar Soap Company spawned from.
Well, now you just teed that up, and I was going to walk through that. So wouldn't it have been easier... maybe easier is not the right word. Would it have been more cost efficient to use products? Because you go all natural, right? There's no chemicals, yep. Like you said. Wouldn't it have been cheaper or cost efficient to use existing stuff that does have chemicals in it rather than go the all natural route? So why did you choose that?
Absolutely, it would be. It'd be so much cheaper. And then the big soap companies, the Ivories, the Irish Springs, you know, they figured a way to extract the glycerin that's produced out of the all natural cold process way of making soap. So they extract the glycerin, put it in things like lotions, you know, all the way to bombs, right? So anything that there's a lot more areas that glycerin can be used for, that it's a lot more profitable than it is to just leave in the soap. So they extract it, replace it with chemicals, replace it with everything else. So if you use a bar of Ivory or a bar of Irish Spring and you notice that there's some excessive drying and stuff like that of your skin, it's because that main ingredient that's a byproduct of the chemical reaction is extracted. And then replaced with synthetic. So that's why you can go in and you can buy a bar of Ivory for less than a buck, because they've taken the good stuff out of that, replaced it with cheap chemicals, and are using it to make more money somewhere else down the line.
Gotcha. Okay.
I didn't want to do that. So this is kind of a throwback old school kind of thing. It's been an art that's been around since the beginning of time. People have made their own soap out of coal ash and everything. So it's just trying to bring that all natural. You know, people are so conscious a lot of times, you know, if they take care of themselves, what do they put in their bodies? So they eat healthy, eat clean, but then they'll go in the shower and use some Old Spice that has a list of ingredients that's, you know, 50 deep, and put that garbage on the largest organ of their body. So that's kind of where that goes with, you know, you want to be healthy on the inside, but why not be healthy on the outside as well?
Well, I mean, from you know, sort of a mature and a medical standpoint, you're right. I mean, because that stuff does seep through your skin, you know, in saturation amounts, right? I mean, it's going to have an impact.
Yes. I mean, it does over time. Now, I can't make any claims about what my stuff does, because then the FDA, you know, steps in. If I say that this cures, you know, whatever ails you, so it's called soap. But I rely on my customer feedback as to what it helps. And they tell me things back like their eczema's cleared up after it because it's just using soap. You're not putting chemicals and you're not fueling that fire anymore and causing that irritation. So you're using all natural stuff. It's all natural base oils and essential oils is all I use. So you're getting clean at the same time. You're not exposing your body to any of these things or any of these irritants.
Oh, that's awesome. So what are some of, and you've touched on, I think, one or two, but what are some of the things in the soap that you use?
So base ingredients can range from canola oil to olive oil to I use palm oil. I use avocado oil, rice bran oil. So all additional shea butter, mango seed butter, and that brings me to another point. I don't use any animal products either. So a lot, you'll see tallow, which is an animal byproduct. So I do not use that. And I do not put anybody's mom in soap, i.e. Fight Club or anything like that. So no humans or no animals are in my soap. It's all natural stuff.
Well, I'm glad you cleared that up.
Yeah, I know. Just and, you know, somebody's going to have the question. I feel like I need to throw it out there. So, and then essential oils to scent it, right? So it's not going to be as strong. So if you take the average Joe that uses Irish Spring, it's not going to make the whole house smell like an Irish Spring, right? It's very, very, it's a lot lighter scent, not overpowering. So you won't smell up the whole house. But if you like to smell Irish Spring, then by all means, go right ahead. But yeah, and then exfoliant. So I work with a couple other veteran companies, and I use anything from coffee grounds to exfoliate and infuse the mixture with coffee. I swear, you talk about how, you know, you get trace amounts of saturation. I swear that coffee bar, you know, I can't make any claims, but it somehow wakes up your outsides. I don't know how it does it, but and maybe it's because I'm partial to it too, but something about putting caffeine on you or something, I don't know.
Oh, that's crazy.
And then we work with another better-known company, one of those ones that make whiskey, Lead Slingers, to do the Whiskey and Bad Decisions bar, so that actually has whiskey in it. And then we primarily use walnut powder, so crushed up walnut shells for exfoliation outside of that.
How did you learn about this stuff?
It was that year I spent. I knew I was losing. I was a product manager in corporate America. So my background was in marketing, and I knew I was gonna my job was going away. They give me a 6-month window. So I knew I didn't just want to take some other job. I didn't want to be there. The next step up was me traveling all the time, being away from my family even more. I was like, you know what? I got to do something on my own. And it was just researching. What can I do? What's healthy? Spent many, many a night just researching everything that I could. What's a good all-natural exfoliant? How can I make this work? How will the chemical reaction, how will it take place if I add this stuff to it? Wasted a lot of oil figuring this stuff out. But now everything's pinned down. I got 10 different scents. I've got my whole recipe book, and I just produce now, since I know a lot more about how this is done and the chemical reaction, pretty much the possibilities are endless with what I can create. I can partner with anybody and make a specific bar for them if they have a scent that they like. And the only stipulation is that it has to be an all natural essential oil that I can use for scent. So like colorants, my salt dog bar is OD green. So I use barley grass powder in that to make it green. So that infused with oil makes those bars green. Clove powder in my whiskey bar makes them brown. So all natural colorants. It was just figuring it out. Soap has to cure for 5 weeks after you make it before you can sell it and before it's usable. So it took me a lot of time and a lot of wasted stuff to wait that time and then use it. I was the best guinea pig for K-Bar Soap Company, without a doubt.
Oh, that's awesome. Now, are you still a one-man shop?
I am, helping my family whenever I really need it, but it's just me. I do it full-time.
Oh, that's amazing. That is amazing, because I got to tell you, for people listening, your website, honest to God, it's top-notch, man. It looks good.
I appreciate it.
So
I want to plug something that really helped me out throughout there. I mean, I don't know if a lot of vets even actually know about it, because I fell upon it on a whim. But there's a thing called Entrepreneurial Boot Camp for Veterans. Have you ever heard of it?
Oh yeah. Yep.
Okay. So and if you, I really need to. They really helped me one of my stipulations for me staying in that corporate job was that they give me the 12 days that I needed off to go to Tallahassee, go to Florida State, and be a part of that program. I showed up there with an idea. Didn't have my LLC created, didn't have anything. It was just, it was such the newborn stage, if you will, of this. And that team and that program really helped me formulate a business plan that has really set the foundation for everything. So any veteran out there that is thinking they want to do something or has even a remote part of an idea, I would encourage them to apply for that because it is worth its weight in gold, in my opinion.
And you know what? That's great advice, and I appreciate you teeing that up. You know, because I think a lot of folks, I know a lot of folks are in the same boat you were, you know, a year ago, year and a half ago, where they have this idea kicking around in their head, and they're like, "Oh, great, now what?"
Yeah, it's a good stepping off point, and I know a lot of people out there. I know a lot of vets struggle like I do with it's not necessarily with authority, but it's with politics. It's with having a great idea. And then, well, there's all this red tape. I felt like that they stifled my creativity a lot, and because of any number of reasons, it wasn't their idea. They didn't have funding or whatever. Now I have full autonomy to do what I want to do, and it's up to me, and it's my sole responsibility if it fails or not. And you know that mentality of a veteran. It's not easy to let something fail. So that's what keeps me pushing. Giving my kids something to grow up into, giving them jobs. I really want to hire a ton of veterans. Work doesn't have to, you don't have to hate going to work. And I want to create an environment where I can hire veterans and we can have a good time. We want to kick off at 4, go fishing, go drink a beer, do it. Cool. As long as you busted your butt for me for the past 7 hours, we can knock off and go have fun. It doesn't have to suck. That's my whole thing. So, that's where I'm headed. That's where I'm trying to get. So, still just early. October will be 2 years. So I went live on my website October 2016. So my first full year was last year, and so still very early.
And you're rocking, man. You're rocking. So let's talk about a couple of the products. So you have the soap line, and then you have the beard line. So let's walk through. Let's walk through the primary thing, right? The baby here, the soaps.
Yeah.
So what? Let's walk through some of the specific titles, specific names.
Okay. I'll go through the top ones then. Whiskey and Bad Decisions is by far the best seller. And a lot of what gets people that I found at some of the shows that I've went into, you know, you go through your whole spiel about the scents, because all of my scents come from something that sticks out for me from my time in the Marine Corps. So whether it be Whiskey and Bad Decisions, which, I mean, we've all been there. We've all been a PFC, don't know, stage, and made some bad decisions. And I may have had a little too much of the drink one night. So felt like that would resonate really well. And a lot of people would be like, "Oh my gosh, that's Jimmy," or "Oh my gosh, that's him," like, because they know that, you know, they drink whiskey and make bad decisions. So it kind of resonates with a lot more people. Napalm in the AM, so that's a light citrus bar, so it's orange by nature, right? And everybody knows nothing smells like napalm in the AM, right? Napalm in the morning. So that's our throwback to that in that era. Salt Dog was fashioned off of a like the John Wayne mentality, right? The rough tough doesn't take any crap off of anybody, but this is rough tough and takes crap off of everybody. So if it had to have a face, unfortunately, it was Arlie Ermey. That was who I tried to figure out personalities for these bars. And between him and Gunny Highway and Clint Eastwood, that was what that bar was. If it had a face, I could imagine either one of them yelling back at you. So, all the way down the line, we developed O for May, which I'm sure you know who that is, after being a Marine. So we had a lot of requests for women to make a bar for them. And I'm like, well, we kind of cater to men, but then a lot of women buy this gift. Let's see how it does. And so we did make O for May, so first female in the Marine Corps. It's our first bar for females, so we figured that would resonate there. So it's lavender and oatmeal. So it's like it's a good nourishing bar. I got a lot of guys that like to use it too as a nightcap, right? If they shower before bed, it's got that lavender calming in it, you know. So it's not bad, just don't tell your friends. Going through, Reveille is a good one too. That's the coffee bar. And we have been working with Black Rifle all the way through with them. So we've since branched out to some other coffee companies and working out with some other better known coffee companies to put that in the bar, so there'll be more to come on that in the near future. But that's, like I said, I have plenty of versatility. I can work with companies, and we can, you know, create something specifically for them that they're happy with. The only unfortunate thing is that it takes so long to go through that that research and development. I mean, you're a couple months out by the time you cure and use it, make sure the scents come out okay. So, yeah, it's one big science experiment is like what I like to say.
Now, are you getting you ticked off a couple of companies. I know there are some you've listed your partners on your website as well. All the veteran business partners, including Black Rifle Coffee. We had them on the show a couple months back. Good guys. Do they seek you out, or do you seek them out, or is it just sort of a mutual, hey, let's try this kind of thing?
I reached out to them initially because I knew I wanted a bar with that. That was coffee infused. That was called Reveille, because everybody knows what Reveille is that has ever served, right? And it was meant to be a bar that was supposed to be really scrubby and to wake you up in the morning. So knew I wouldn't have a coffee infused bar because there was, like we mentioned before earlier in the show, that there's a lot of better known coffee companies, and I felt like it would be a good sister product to have and to kind of partner with, kind of help each other grow. Not that Black Rifle needed any help growing, but it was something that helped me initially. They originally bought some stuff and then they listed it on their site. It was the only thing listed on their website that wasn't really, branded by them. And they're going through a lot of stuff, so it's not listed on there anymore. So we've kind of decided to branch out a little bit. But yeah, I sought them out initially, knew I wanted to use coffee, give them the opportunity to be on board with it, made some with theirs, sent it to them, and they loved it. And they're the ones who initially thought about putting it online. Like, if you go to Invader Coffee, they actually make their own coffee soap now. So I don't know if they outsource it or whatever, but, I mean, it is a thing, and it's a trend that's catching on fairly well. Yeah, I typically seek these guys out, see if they want to work something out, and they're like, "Soap, are you kidding me?" I'm like, "No, give it a try. Like, I'll send you some and try it out," and I usually get positive feedback from that. So it's usually what works. With Lead Slingers as well, I mean, and that's been the most popular bar that we have. So, I like to partner with them, and I like to work with better-known companies because we tend to really mesh. You know, we tend to mesh in goals and overall objectives. And I like it to be mutual, and it has been. It's been really good.
Well, and I think it's helpful that a lot of vets don't. They have sort of the same mindset that you do, which is, you know, let's not tie things up with red tape. We have a goal. Let's get to it.
Absolutely.
That's great. That is great. So where are your products available? Obviously on your website.
Yes. And I have various retailers across the country. So I've got a few in Texas, West Virginia. I'm in a couple local in Rock Hill. I'm really waiting on to hear back from a large national retailer in the next couple weeks. So if that's the case, and they come back with some positive feedback, then could see me a little bit more places in the near future. Well, maybe by the end of the year, it'll take a little bit, but that's where we're going, trying to get that, trying to get it retail. Usually tell people to, you know, come to the site, check it out. All my ingredients are listed on the site. So obviously check for allergies. You know, some people are allergic to grass or whatever, you wouldn't want to use barley grass. So definitely check the ingredients. They're minimal, but if you do have allergies, you know, check those first and foremost. And they're listed on all the packaging as well by law. So definitely want to throw that out there too. But a few gun shops and a couple shooting shops. So I do a couple big shows in the fourth quarter locally in Charlotte, North Carolina, and one in Richmond, Virginia.
Gun shows?
Actually, it's the largest Christmas show in North America that comes to Charlotte, called the Southern Christmas Show. It's
Wow.
The first week in November.
Huh.
And then they do something similar in Richmond, Virginia. I find it, obviously, gift-giving time is one of my high points that I need to capitalize on. So we do those in the fourth quarter. And really, we've got, you know, we went to this huge Medals of America get-together last night with John Burke, and got to meet the team there, and that was pretty interesting. And there was a lot of influential people there telling me I need to try to get in the SHOT Show or get on the list for that. So I don't know. Maybe we'll see if we can get on that 3 or 4 year waiting list and try to go out to Vegas early in the year.
Right, and do the 9 miles a day of walking around on the floor.
I won't be walking. I'm just going to be.
Well, that's true. That's true. So have you off the beaten path kind of question here. Have you run into any, you're dealing with vets, have you run into any that have sort of given you pushback or given you attitude?
Can you say that again? I'm sorry.
I was just wondering, because I've asked a lot of veteran businesses this. The veteran community is generally pretty tight, but there are some knuckleheads out there. Have you run into any kind of resistance or arrogance or whatever you want to call it from other vets?
Absolutely. absolutely. I mean, it happens anywhere. Some of them will balk at the price. Some of them will. And look, I always tell everybody, it is not for everybody. The biggest thing that I researched, that I found that my competitors were getting negative marks on, was how long the bar lasted. And it wasn't exfoliating enough and stuff like that. So, I mean, I researched my competition's negative feedback before I went down, and then I aimed to fix that. So we made the bar bigger. I'm trying to remove some of those excuses as their barriers to entry. Yes, the biggest thing is the price. Like, why would I buy that? And I can go buy 8 bars of ivory for less than 8 bar of yours on my last 3 weeks, give or take, depending upon how many times you shower. Now, if you shower once a week, one of these things is liable to last you all year. But I hope that's not the case. That's it. I mean, the feedback that way, you know, the scent's not as strong, which I tend to get that, and I completely get it, right? It is a transition that you need to get used to, but that transition is the aftermath and how your skin feels after you use something that is all natural and not damaging to the skin cells. So
sure,
it's truly eye-opening once they get to use it. And usually I like to try to convert the haters, and I'm like, look, let me send you a sample, and then you tell me after you eat. Let me know what you think.
Tell them to clean up their attitude.
Yeah. Why don't you eat on some of this too and maybe help you out a little bit.
Well, hey, Chris, we're about out of time, but, man, I really appreciate you coming on today. What a cool product.
Thank you very much, Jim. Thanks for reaching out, and thank you very much for your time today. I really appreciate it. It was a good conversation.
All right. Well, we'll have you back sometime, Chris.
Perfect. Thank you, Jim.
Thanks a lot. That's Chris McKinney, founder of K-Bar Soap Company. And that's going to do it for this episode of the Veterans Report. Until next time, I'm your host, Jim Cannon.
You've been listening to the Veterans Report. Let others know about the show. You can find us online at theveteransreport.com. If you'd like to contact us, send an email to editor@theveteransreport.com. Join us again at the same time for up-to-date veterans news and information. The Veterans Report. Thank you for your service, and carry on.
The Veterans Report has been sponsored by James Cannon.